first submitted today, it is October 8, 2020, at 12:03, and it's submitted to the whole meeting for the review of some of the downtown development plans and questions. We have with us today from City Council Brian McCann, Katie Deppolini, Lindsay Stowe, Ed Christensen, also myself, Mary Westfall, the mayor is with us, as well as Bill Sanford, Leslie Ryan, it sounds like Kevin Allen is in the room as well.
Yes.
Correct, okay. So, and I do know that Mr. Hayner is able to turn up, for Friday, when it, as he becomes available. So with that, I'm gonna turn it over to, Michelle, to kind of give us an update on where we are and what she's learned since our last presentation.
Sure, thank you for having me. So I thought the public meeting actually went really well. I know that there was some feedback online, some of it, was in private chat rooms on Facebook, but I did have someone, I guess, copy and paste some of that information, so I was able to understand some of the, chit chat that happened after the meeting, you know, kind of typical for these people, you know, on social media, saying things after the fact, especially things that maybe weren't talked about or, possibly not true, and that's okay. In general, though, we have a lot of positive feedback. I have a couple more emails, though, that I actually need to respond to, and it's getting more system. So we received just as many positive, emails in return as we did people, you know, maybe defending, I think some of the things that people heard were a little bit of exaggeration through the game of, you know, grapevine telephone and things like that. The biggest thing that I want to reiterate is that we are obviously not staring down potters. We're not trying to force them out or anything like that. I do think, though, that the market is dramatically changing in the grocery industry. So putting that out there that, you know, they're going to need to keep up with what's going on in order to stay relevant, especially with the younger population moving in. And that. So again, really good meeting. The one thing I would say is that, you know, we made some pretty major updates going from our stakeholder meeting to our public meeting, and that seemed to, I believe, from the stakeholder group, you know, make a lot of people kind of happier with what we were showing. I know Kate Field followed back up with me, as well as some of the chamber, saying that they really appreciated that we put their concerns into, you know, in account and made those updates and, you know, thumbs up. And I think I really like to come out and follow up with Kate Field in particular, saying that she was, you know, as someone who was invested in the community, she was not only really excited about it, but she felt like the voice had been heard, and that was nice to hear. That being said, other than that, we obviously don't feel that we heard anything major from the public meeting that we need to kind of do a third iteration of the very baseline sketches. I know they're very, for those of us that aren't visual, seeing the very baseline sketches are sometimes hard to, you know, articulate in our mind and kind of lay it out in space. But we honestly feel very comfortable with what we heard and the feedback that we heard able to explore. Bring the next thing back, which is getting all of those great graphics that I think from the Utah story kind of paint a picture of what that looks like. Great results. We have a lot of really good feedback actually on the Menti meter that we use, the online social engagement tool. People really, really have enjoyed using that. We got great feedback from that. So I think we're feeling pretty comfortable from an aesthetic standpoint as to, you know, as to where we are and the direction we need to go in. I know that today's meeting is really just an info question asking session, so Bill let me know that there were, you know, some questions that have come up since then, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. The only tidbit that I've thrown out there is that I did see the little along that Rushdie Bakery might be going up for sale, or it is up for sale. I definitely would recommend that if you guys want to move forward on that pedestrian alley, which a lot of people were very, very excited about, that would be an ideal location for that. I, you know, I did look into seeing if it was actually listed or what the sale price was. You know, now that we know that the sun has, you know, moved on and has decided that I believe go back to grad school, small world, and I know his sister in law. So that's how I found out. So it sounds like they are kind of just maybe, you know, trying to move on. It would be a great opportunity that legitimately, if it is up on the market, Great Time Vibe, that would be a nice subject that would be one story. And I feel a location to convert that into a pet alley. So I will kind of throw that as my opinion based on what we're seeing from this plan and kind of getting that connection through. Right now, to kind of act on that, if that's something that interests you. Other than that, I'm happy to open it up for questions. I did not do anybody, so if you do have a question, just please feel free to take yourself off of mute. You know, Mayor or Bill, if you have anything that you want to ask or anybody else, I'm happy to entertain.
Maybe I can start, Michelle, and I'll come back to Brishke's. I do have an update about them, and I'll come back to that. But maybe, could you just go over, you know, we're at this point, and what happens between now and the final product, or what are we going to see, or what's the next deliverable that you're going to be giving to us?
Yeah, the next deliverable is pretty much almost the final deliverable, other than the potential, the application, basically kind of seeing our incremental financing numbers, basically, of what we think this can add into the downtown economy. We're just at that point, basically, if I get the green light today, we can start working on all of the really cool graphics. So we'll be developing a 3D model of your downtown and showing that infill development based on the aesthetics that were, talked about and voted on during the meeting, which no surprise there. People want a very traditional Main Street with just a little bit of hint of modern, you know, to keep up with the current market. So we are very comfortable with what we heard from the aesthetic standpoint and what the votes indicated. It's just what you're going to see is your final document, is the whole report that you've already received. And we're basically going to add in pages at the end that just show all the graphics. Kind of, again, this isn't like a narrative report or anything like that. It's very, very graphic heavy. You already have market analysis. So in that same layout, we'll give you your exported graphics, your updated site plan, some of the 3D visualization, and then depending on what it shows, sometimes there's multiple charts that we need to show, sometimes one big single chart, basically, and how that residential and retail is going to potentially give you some leverage in the future for those dollars. So we do have one more, and hopefully it'll be in-person meeting. If not, we can do it via Zoom. I know all of our colleagues want to look from render forms and whatnot, so it just depends on where we are with this whole thing. But we do have a formal meeting. So that's we're doing now with the whole presentation with the final graphic showing what we have and the final analysis results. We can also do it at council meeting. We want to have that presentation being where it is open to the general public, and we can say that public can log on or however you guys are doing those meetings now. We are completely blocked. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yes, I think that helps. My thought, I'd let Mary or the mayor comment about probably in front of a council meeting. It would be, we have it like a, it's 6:30 or something or whatever, or 6 o'clock at this public meeting, and have the council meeting follow it. And it would be great to have you here to do it, but again, we'll see how that, I understand what you're saying based on what the conditions are, that something would change. And what do you, time-wise, what are we looking at? When would this be ready?
So we can get the green light today. We don't hear anything dramatic compared to what we heard at our last stakeholder meeting, the public meeting. This is a pretty heavy report. I'll put it on the contract with a lot of man hours in it, or in our case, women hours. My designers are female on this project. So, I'm going to guess probably 3 to 4 weeks of solid designing and of modeling. So getting towards the early week of October, it's kind of like middle to end of November. So if there's a council meeting that we want to set that before the holidays, or even just after the holidays, I don't know what your schedule looks like based on the name that it falls and when people take vacation, especially the last schedule, but we can definitely be ready by the end of the year to make a formal presentation. If you're feeling like maybe you're not going to get enough to work in the state, after is fine. I will say that just like we saw in more public meetings, we're getting really, really good response on the online public meeting. We're getting people that normally wouldn't take the time to drive somewhere because, well, tired, right? I know my parents in particular were on the world, and they really enjoyed it. They really liked having that option of having the comfort of being in their own home and being able to see something that they thought was important. And we're hearing a lot of that. So we're very comfortable doing it online. We're offering it online, and we're seeing a lot of additional public input from maybe some populations that we normally would have seen for an in-person meeting.
Would you join here? Please, we're in person, but if people want to join online, any members or presentations, are you open to that?
Absolutely. If I am physically there, though, in council, it becomes a little bit different for me to be able to post a Zoom where I can go, where I can.
Yeah, I can't have somebody
else. Okay. Yeah, it would be, it's a little bit more difficult when you have hats coming in and things like that if I'm not actually in front of a screen. So that's the only thing that we have to be careful of, is just making sure that we were prepared to be able to accept input as soon as we started the morning. But yeah, we're flexible.
I had a sense that maybe the mayor wanted to say something, or he?
That's correct. I was asking the law director what, if any, official action the council needs to take to accept the plan as official. I'd like Leslie to explain the options, but you know, I think council may want to not just get to the end of the study and say, well, that's it. You might want to pass a resolution or an ordinance adopting the plan as the official downtown development plan.
That's correct. Hi, Michelle, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to quickly respond to the mayor's question. If there's nothing formal that council has to do, if there's an action that you would like to take, you can certainly adopt it as a plan or a resolution of support. We'll support that, whatever council would like to do. But as far as from a council standpoint, there's nothing more formal that needs to be done.
The one thing I will say is that if we go after grant money for anything that might become available, having that resolution of either whether adoption or support, whatever that might be, there's a lot of grants out there that want that checkbox, but is this a formal approved plan? Yeah, it's absolutely not a requirement. The other thing, though, is that you'll be able to see that trail connection a lot better going from, you know, the north of the river over to the future park site. And so I do think that with your connection to downtown, the university, the high school, and the park, I think that's probably a very good candidate for King Ohio Fund. I have a really good relationship with Ron Hammond and Corbett, that's definitely something I can run by him. But again, for that application in particular, they absolutely need to see that segment, whatever you're applying for. They want to see it in an approved plan. So I was assuming that everyone is supportive of it. I definitely recommend taking that next step. Knowing the decisions or that it's a long-term process, it will help with some grant projects in the future as far as supporting the grant application itself.
Michelle, this is Craig again. Part of the reason that we selected you as the consultant was your knowledge of available grants and your ability to help us go after them. So I think we're going to do everything that you recommend to receive any grants that are possible and request your assistance in doing what's right. We want to access those grant funds.
Absolutely, and we'll find out here very soon. Unfortunately, the public works bill, for better or for worse, they actually left off the ag and the King Ohio trail funding. It was a small line item compared to the rest of the Ohio public works, but they left it off. So they are a little behind right now. We are expecting, from what we're hearing from our legislators and from ODNR in particular, they are expecting that get passed. I'm not sure if it's any going up a different bill or this kind of funding amendment. I'm not as in tune with the vote pickup. Normally, we would know by now that the funding is out there for next year. but it is, this was a heads up that if it is announced this year, the one's expecting it in 2020, and he doesn't think that they're going to delay the actual application cycle. So those are typically due February 1st and March, or March 1st. So that, it'll be a fast turnaround when they actually remedy the issue of not having that in the original funding bill. It'll be fast, so I just want to put that out there. It's a minimum of a 25% match, with a maximum of $500,000 award, which puts it at a minimum private budget of $656,000 as your minimum base fund. But yeah, happy to do that, Mayor, and you know, especially if we know that you guys are really wanting to move forward as much as many items as possible off of that, that's something for us to know, and that way as we see money becoming available, we can, you know, actively look into it.
Well, I have a question, and I'm not sure if it's for you, Michelle, or if it's for our group, but I did meet with a couple of local developers who are both downtown property owners, longtime Pennsylvania residents, and they were actually really upset that we left off the like some kind of a connection between south of Monroe Street and north of Monroe Street, that they basically, I guess the bottom line here, that the people that are living in Selma will have a very hard time crossing the street to get to the north to our main street. And that's, like I said, this is like an issue that I think we've been dealing with, or at least talked about numerous times over the past year, so I'm not just directing this at you. But somehow we need to figure out in our plan how we get the people from Somo to our main street safely. And one of them actually suggested a minor path where 10 Mile Creek, where the trail ends at Monroe Street, it goes up the creek by the apartments. Right now it's not there because of construction, but it ends at Monroe Street, and then the creek goes under the road, and he was wondering if we could put a walkway under there too. I really took some heat on why we weren't considering having Summit Creek go straight into Selma. I'm like, well, there's, you know, the property grade issues, the high power transmission lines, I just feel like I had to bring this up because we're not feeling very happy.
Our plan does show some going into the Selma development as an extension. The bigger thing though is that we don't have their final site plan, so we don't know what, we don't understand from the private development side what that is looking like from, you know, from it crossing through Monroe Street. We unfortunately don't have that information of how they're actually reacting to that and building on that in their private development site. So it is showing it, and I know it's something to be in the hands of that. It's such a high level.
Through the retaining wall that our last council meeting is put right there. So I think we're not going to spend $500,000 on the road there.
The sidewalk? Or?
No. It's so, you know what the Summit Street light is? And on the other side of the Summit Street light, there's the strip mall with the gun shop and PT, physical therapy is in there, and there's something in the middle. Oh, the hairdresser, ARCO. So they were pointing out that because the light is there, that's where the road should be going. So,
but now there's a retaining wall going where it would have normally been on the southern end.
I'm not sure if that even works because of the grade difference there. But they were just crossing out. It's like we've seen a downtown plan, this is our fourth rendition of it, and you guys need to figure that out. That is like mildly familiar, but actually they were
Kevin, are our signals, are they on a loop timing? Is that something that can be updated as far as the new foot traffic that we're expecting at Summit in the Merle, whether it extends down or become a typical traditional four-way intersection, or it just remains a T? We assume that there would be like sidewalks that would get, you know, that would get full along Monroe Street with, again, I have not seen the landscape or anything like that, or funded, but, would expect as many additional residents, I'm assuming our signal time will be adjusted based on, is that something that's possible, once we understand just kind of how people are viewing that space?
Yeah, at this point, the option that'll be available to them is walking up to Main Street, crossing Monroe Street, right at the head signal that already exists. If they extend through, Priscilla Street, we don't own that property. So it's just like the Solvay property. We don't own it. So it would just be a matter of when those property owners, decide to do something different with the property.
Yeah, the better covers, you are anticipating that being a natural, progression, I guess, of the summit, knowing that the city of Fulton right now doesn't have control over it, but we would like that as a traditional flowway intersection. I guess from a scale connection standpoint, Katie, I think we're kind of more seeing that more of a recreational use south of Fulton, or Northview and North and all of that, and really starting to develop, this is downtown, this is a great downtown, so let's start celebrating our sidewalks and our walkability and things like that from a, from what you would expect from downtown,
I just know that that corner at Bay and Grove is pretty crazy across, and right now, the demographic of the people that are moving into town are definitely an older demographic, so. And I don't know the answer. I just felt like I needed to bring it up because these two people were very concerned. And I wanted to make sure that their message was heard.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to be showing like sidewalk layout. The one thing though that would be helpful to know, I don't know if they're willing to share it, but if we could get their actual updated site plan, that would be ideal for us. We don't want to misrepresent, and this is getting pretty specific to the nitty-gritty of their private development. I understand that we don't pull that building that we would need to actually create that throughway, but it would help us understand, even from a modeling standpoint, to be as accurate as possible. If we could get, it looks like they had something modeled in SketchUp similar to what we used before they put it into their 3D modeling system. Even if they could send us that, that would be ideal for whether it's a catalog that we can just drop in, happy to sign it on the disclosure that we're, only using it for this project and things like that. But yeah, Katie, without understanding the exact.
I'm pretty sure they would be happy to send you that because that was one of their concerns before they even started building to be able to connect their phone to the downtown. That was already concerned the majority did.
If that was me and I was there, I would feel more comfortable, I think, assuming, again, that our pedestrian signal timing is either actuated or the push button itself or you're stopping cars because the, letting pedestrians kind of rule the traffic pattern, or we update that signal to accommodate the extra pedestrian crossing movement, as well as maybe increasing that time if we do have an older population. But I would personally want to cross that and roll on it. It's just, even if it becomes a four-way intersection, it's not as busy as being in the road. And it gets people where all the things are still. So instead of traveling south of the North Street, I would cross right at Weaver Street. But my path of least resistance would basically cross at Summit and Monroe, and then get to Main Street on the north side of Monroe. It's a very nice walk. I mean, it's very broad, growing from future infill development. But even now, it's a nice walk if you're really prepared with, sidewalks and all that.
Technically, people can find the easier location now, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I do think that, there's a lot less turning, the gas station's not ideal on that corner. Hopefully, eventually it'll go away based on the evolving, traffic like cars and things like that. But with that being said, its current configuration, your ingress threat, almost the entire property coming from that way, is a driveway. And so, the north side is wrong, the better for worse, which is more comfortable for the pedestrian.
Michelle, I just wanted to add it and make sure everybody at council knows that it's the Georgia Cockles property that we're talking about that's right on Monroe Street. The city has repeatedly you know, years ago when Jim Mone started putting all the property together, they were talked to. I'm hopeful something could be worked out here in the future, but like I say, we don't know that at this time, so we got to deal with what the best situation is. But it's definitely in our plans. I think it would work out best for the whole development there at Somo and for downtown. But again, we'll see what I think time can help us with this one.
And speaking out of those, you can see that we did show the extension of Summit. Again, we don't really have the, you know, for better or worse, what we are right now, we're in a very rough state, but the model itself, I mean, the output of the graphic is pretty, even though it's all conceptual, it's a pretty detailed, you know, level of aesthetic improvement. So we kind of moved it in here and feathered it out, but the more detail we can get for this site, the better.
Right, I mean, I know it's like eminent domain and not like that word, but if there was ever a case to use it, I feel like this is it. I'm just throwing it out there to see if everyone is out of fishing, but it's, I mean, it's a safety issue, it really is.
I would say, in addition to the safety issue, you're kind of the pivotal point of kind of defining recreating your downtown. So not only from a pedestrian access standpoint and user access standpoint, you're kind of building on a more traditional Main Street bridge with that extension.
I know, again, the state continues to work with Georgia Public and trying to figure that out, and I do think that our friends at Republic are as well, so hopefully there can be some resolution that would work out that would require eminent domain. I think that would be a very challenging step for I have a couple of questions for you, though. So, one, I have had some people reach into me and inquire about the area of Sylvania. It's not formally in the plan, so there's no formal discussion of it. I have my concern was that it was well received when you did your analysis that the area of Sylvania still had a place in our community. But I'd like to get some feedback from you about your perspective of the area of Sylvania and how it fits in.
Yeah, I mean, we left it as being intact. We thought that there were people saying that, it's a little, the configuration of it, was a little choppy. We didn't want to eliminate any of it. I mean, the start taking apart buildings, not the most ideal just from a really contiguous space standpoint. But we did hear that folks like the downtown Sylvania is not a historic district. They like the historic feel of it, and that's traditional Main Street. So we did leave it intact, and we feel like that area alone, hopefully, and no one's very in this process. I heard that people were most disappointed that it wasn't better utilized. So we took a little bit, you know, more activity that by leaving it intact, it does become more utilized. We don't have a lot of, you know, kind of cultural, historical areas like that. So we left it intact, and we're hoping it does get further utilized in the future. There's more people there. But yeah, we just didn't see any, unless you guys are like, there's no one coming that's underutilized and wants you to do something with it. Our gut reaction is good.
And then I had a question from a couple people that were similar, and that was, I had two people reaching me to say, is this really a vision from environmental design town that's required from our community, or is this really city council making all of this up and trying, and they're just putting it on the platform? And my perspective on that, Michelle, is that really you have used your professional expertise and knowledge to share with us what would most likely benefit our community. While you have input from council, if we were way off base on something, I feel like you've been very direct about that. But I want to make sure that if you feel like we've given you some feedback that is way out of line, that we've given you the opportunity to communicate that to us and to redirect.
Good, and I appreciate that. I'm a very direct person who hasn't learned by now. I'm just afraid to voice, you know, our professional opinion. That being said, I would say we always take stakeholder and public comment into account, and we're not going to, unless we are specifically directed to show something, it doesn't matter what our profession, we've had that happen before. You know, we've had people say, I want you to show a Starbucks on this corner, even if there's no way that a Starbucks can be supported on that corner. If we get redirected to do something very specifically, we will. I will say that for your case, this is based on the market and what the current market is saying that you support. So the square footages in particular are absolutely what the market supports. We know that we need some different types of housing stock in order to do support additional retail, to also support a whole lot of extra residential at a density and a housing psychology that does not exist right now. Obviously, we know that someone's going in. You still support different types, especially on the townhome side, especially on kind of flat style condo apartment side, you support a lot of that. Somehow, even though it is sitting very well in the downtown fabric, it's still like more of a suburban style apartment development that just happens to be at the end of downtown. We did receive a couple emails of wanting much more retail that we're showing, you know, Minneapolis style downtown five stories of retail that just we don't support here, and we need to have that mix of additional additional residential to support the retail that we have are showing. So we do feel that we're kind of adequately pushing the envelope a little bit. I'm showing a little extra retail than what the market analysis is currently showing, but in our professional opinion, we do think you're going to have a very positive snowball effect. The minute that you get one info development that goes very well, I think when Think Time 5 expands, I think that's going to, especially with their second floor patio, I think that is going to bring a totally different type of, you know, light into that property. You're going to see that positive snowball effect of more people wanting to invest, more people wanting to do that info development. And Lindsay made a comment that we're hoping that maybe there are some smaller pieces that maybe isn't some big giant developer, that we do have opportunity for some smaller scale infill development. But no, to directly answer your question, I do not feel like you're showing anything that we have been forced into that we're not comfortable with, you know, from the council redirecting us. You know, the one thing that we changed was the amount of townhomes that we are showing north of Maplewood on Main. We've heard from multiple people from our stakeholder meeting that they really wanted to see that being more of an extension of town. We didn't show it to the extent that we are at. It's still first floor retail with like two or three apartment style flats above it instead of a long giant row of townhomes. That is a major.
Are you talking about over by that raised space?
Yes. No, north of Reed. I'm sorry. Yeah, we converted that whole fresh report a lot of townhomes. They're very popular right now. We don't really have any Pennsylvania. They're high end. Nice to have attached back, you know, car garage in the back, etc. But we did take out quite a few townhomes and turn that more into a Main Street feel style of mixed development. Which you do support. That wasn't our first gut reaction of what should be there, but it does not go against anything that we saw in the market analysis or our gut instinct of what would not be successful. So that was the biggest change in adaptation that we made. And then the same thing on the other side of that, again, North of Reed site, on the west side of Summit Street, we took away some of the townhomes and created a little bit more of a mixed use with flat style, again, upscale. In Chicago, and maybe like Old Town Chicago, where you have those walk-up style, really nice square footage, flat style apartments or condos, that's what we put in there instead. And pushing the envelope a little bit on what we think the retail market actually is, but again, I think we're going to build upon your own success, and I think it'll, especially if we get from some of this health issues, I think you're going to see some positives from all of them. So no, we were not directed to do anything that we did not feel comfortable with.
Right. All right.
When you say sales, does that include restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's what I keep hearing, we're restaurants, we're restaurants, we're bars, we're restaurants. I mean, if I hear it one more time, it's great, but we definitely need more things to see.
You know, sorry, that was the big thing that we were trying to show in area one, is that people love outdoor dining in downtown, especially with COVID. You know, we know that people need more space outside. We're really converting that back alley and kind of reformulating that area south of your police station, the alley behind your main street. That is an ideal space that can make it, just absolutely transform above and beyond our state and the momentum that you have on Main.
Michelle,
other question for Michelle.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Okay, great. Speaking of the missing middle and the mixed use that you're discussing on that northern part of Main Street on the east side, that's probably what would be more likely for the smaller developers, the type of developers we've already had be very successful in our downtown. And I was wondering whether or not you offer some sort of service where you're able to analyze our current zoning codes to make sure that they are set up in such a way that they support that type of development, or whether you offer a service that specifically looks at the next 2 years and what smaller steps we could be taking from sort of a bottom-up perspective to help encourage those types of developers to come to our town.
Yeah. Absolutely. So one of the things that we've been doing lately that is a little bit different, we're just doing we're going to redo your entire zoning code, which a lot of times isn't necessary and just costly and kind of cumbersome. You get lost in a lot of leads that maybe don't need to be updated. We've actually been seeing a lot of success in entering into basically an MSA, a master service agreement, specifically for zoning code tasks. So we've done that with the city of Hudson. We're about to do that in the city of Willoughby. In very similar to Pennsylvania, they have an amazing intact downtown, fully different income level, but a lot of the same, trying to figure out where the right spaces to add in all the density, and they're really trying to get their income up a little bit, so a little bit different. But we're seeing success in the MSA, and basically that puts us under a master contract that is a United States number, and then at a time and material basis, we take direction of, okay, we want to make sure that our overlay district, and maybe this up, I haven't looked at your zoning code, I apologize, but that your overlay district isn't preventing anything that we're showing. That we're able to do the density, that we're not maybe trying to over landscape or over park, these smaller pieces. And that way, if, for example, some of our infill pieces on the Grove Street, very much targeted towards the smaller, maybe more local developers. They are smaller chunks of, of land. I would love to see the infill that we're showing on the road, because we have Summit, be all different people. I think that would be a really, instead of having not just row of townhomes and things like that, then have, three or four different styles that, don't necessarily look like they came from the same developer or the same architect, to kind of show just a unique pattern. So just kind of understanding that there are places to do that, but making sure that, parking, landscaping, especially over parking, making sure that we're not, promoting any sort of, we've actually done zoning code for parking maximums instead of parking minimums, making sure that we're not preventing these developments. The other thing we've done specifically for these types of projects is just design review and actually creating an overlay district that does enforce certain materials, and it's a little bit different than ARB, where you're actually putting it on architectural review board, instead of having it going through just an ARB process. You actually have it, design standards written into your zoning code or a specific overlay district for your downtown. That can be, again, you're not forcing anybody to change what they have, but for new development or anyone that's doing a complete facade facelift, they then, if you're grandfathered in, if you're already there, but for new construction or new rehab, that they, can follow that. Another thing that we've done as part of the MSAs is just a simple zoning audit. Specifically Katie, one of your concerns, we've actually done complete street zoning audit, making sure that we don't have things that are preventing,
you know, bicycle and pedestrian movement, or, you know, encouraging the installation of bike racks in some of the larger properties, and that things are close to the street, and making sure that our setbacks are, you know, walkable and bicycle and things like that. But yeah, we absolutely do that, and we've had a really good success of doing it where we get directed to look at things based on something very specific, instead of having to pay for your whole building code to be, you know, beyond, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think this vision is really great for us to have, and I would love to make sure that we are set up as a city to be able to encourage that what we envision is going to, or maybe not definitely happen the way it is, but at least help encourage it in the direction that we would want it to go, and make sure that our processes and current rules are going with that.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend the zoning code, and I call it MOD, that sounds very negative. But basically, that's going through an understanding, are there maybe some red flags and things that are just being older, that, you know, older language, basically, from different times of development styles that are different, that maybe we are saying, hey, from a first priority standpoint, here are some items in your code that we need to develop. Or, if we don't see that, saying, okay, let's start getting specific and start looking at some special improvement districts or, again, special design district to make sure that you guys are getting the quality of aesthetics and materials that you're looking for. We have a client out in Lee County, but it's township, so they can't regulate residential. But in their commercial district, we literally got down to offering color palettes and giving them the RGB of different combos, because it felt like their developers just didn't know the aesthetics. They didn't know kind of what was good design and what not. Literally down to what colors they were allowed to do their shutters. So you can get as specific as you want. In that case, they were only allowing black or white shutters, and that was it. I mean, we got into column styles, and you can get pretty darn specific with these things. But happy to call them anyway, and that's just how a lot of it.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to that sort of level of detail or restrictions. Making sure that we are open and able to have the types of development we're aiming for with it.
I think Pennsylvania, we're more talking about making on the material standpoint in particular, you know, limiting amount of vinyl or not at all allowing vinyl, talking about brick and stone and amount of glass versus exposed glass versus exposed, you know, steel or metal and things like that. You know, not necessarily saying that it has to be one of these 15 different color combinations, but I think something the quality of material, we want to make sure that we were to go that route, that we're, again, making sure that we're not getting a bunch of townhomes and junky vinyl siding that isn't appropriate, you know, for your, I don't think the market's there. I really think that the level of income that we have and the demand that's out there demand higher end materials, but just something to think about if that's not already in place, I would that be very helpful.
So, just a point of clarification, I want to make sure that I understood this correctly. So, you shared with us that the only thing that you want to do to change dramatically on the final plan coming forward is that north of the home space, really on both Main Street and Summit Street, there's two for different info there. Rather than having to be out, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, we actually did make that adjustment post the state board meeting and pre the public meeting. So, can you guys see my cursor?
Yeah.
So, the original plan that you guys saw at the stakeholder meeting shows all of this being a little bit different layout closer to the road. This was all townhome development.
Yeah.
And this was all townhome development. I believe the parking garage was a little bit differently configured since this building is contingent on needing a garage. So we moved the parking garage to then accommodate what is now being shown into the townhomes as mixed use. So this is first floor retail with above floor, you know, flat style partner condos. And the same thing here. Again, I want to state that because of your site condition, is dependent on having the parking garage. So we did, that's what the public saw.
That was helpful. That's helpful. And that makes sense. I just had myself a little bit of stuff. Great. That's helpful. Thank you.
I know you've seen this however many times now, so we're evolving.
Okay.
And Michelle, this is Mark Fry. And that parking garage that you just showed, Is that the five-story monstrosity, is I, that's my word for it, not yours, obviously, that you were talking about before?
This one in particular is going to be smaller than the one that we're showing over in Area 1, where your police station is. And for better or for worse, not to give you an answer, it is absolutely going to depend on how many stories of residential you do on these, you know, this could easily be also broken up into two mixed-use buildings, again, depending on your developer. But if this is four or five stories, and depending on how many units you have left here, it really does depend. If you're only doing a couple stories of either condo or apartments above the first floor retail, no, I think you're closer to two or three. I don't see that being a four or five building. I'm sorry, a four or five story level apartment garage. I don't see that being needed here.
So it's a one for one. If the buildings are three stories, it'll probably be a three story apartment garage. If the building is four stories, two stories, two-story parking garage. I think that's what I just heard you say.
Maybe. I think you potentially could have, again, this building where we're showing some decent density, depending on how many units go in this block, would definitely dictate that at least an amount. But yeah, I would say if these guys are three stories, maybe it's two to three stories. I think this, though, is really going to be your indicator. You could support more than four stories of additional residential on top of this retail. It would depend. The one thing I would say is that we would not want to encourage that parking garage to be taller than your building. Just from a standpoint, if you're at the same level and you're making it look very nice from the outside, or, you know, one or a half a level below.
Thank you.
We're obviously not in Ann Arbor, but this is the one spot we have in downtown that would look like the parking garages in downtown Ann Arbor, where they're not on the main street. They're tall and massive, but not part of the streetscape. So if we have a parking issue downtown, that's a good place to put it, because it's not on any street frontage at all.
And aesthetically, there's lots of really cool things now that you can do in parking garages to not make them. I mean, sometimes you can doctor them up, but they don't really look like a parking garage on the outside, other than getting rent and heat wrap. So, again, I think with more market demand, I think we'll, as we're designing standards, absolutely come into play, kind of going back to some of the zoning question. But you have the right things going for you, where you can make plans to make sure that as part of that development, that it is a very, very nice aesthetic to see the garage.
Great. Can you update on the spreadsheet? Oh, share that.
Yes. Michelle, you mentioned earlier, and I have talked to Bonnie Grishny, and I think she was part of the public meeting, and she wanted to talk about the same thing you brought up, about the connection to the neighborhood. What I think she's asking, besides for her property, she also wants to sell her business. So right now, I think she's looking at in excess of $500,000 for her property business, which I think is a pretty big number. Let's see what happens there as far as there's other people that are interested in the property, and maybe it could remain a retail spot if she can work out a deal with somebody. Selling the business is kind of tricky. Yeah, I mean, she's got a pretty good business lined up with the equipment, and the building really needs to be upgraded. So anybody going in that wants to remain at bakery, they're going to make a pretty big investment. So I kind of want to see how that all plays out with who's interested in that property. And I think there's some other properties that we can look at in downtown as the connection from going from the Main Street back to the parking lot. But again, we'll keep the options going. It's not something that, but some of that might take care of itself with the Grishny building.
Yeah, it is, the reason I brought up that property in particular, A, we saw it potentially being listed. B, it is a one story. The inside, they've done a really nice job updating the outside murals, updating the CLC. But the fact that it is a one story, that is, you really would hate to see a two story building, unless it's just absolutely dilapidated, which I don't think we have in any of our main streets, which we'd be very welcome to care of.
we really wouldn't be here now. We think that the pedestrian connection is really important. We do not want to tear down this three building.
I should also add that Andy Airsford, who is the executive director of Heritage Sylvania, she did send out an email with expressing some concern, not just from her, but from the many people who care about Sylvania's history, about concern of tearing down one of the buildings in our Main Street, because we do have such a great specimen. Because we had the fire early on, everything was built at this main, and peak Main Street time, and to take out one of the buildings becomes sort of a missing tooth in this great piece of Main Street evidence we have. And one of the possibilities she brought up was whether or not this corridor could be left as a sort of an interior atrium-like corridor, so it would maintain the visual structure of it, but still allow for the pedestrian connection. I just wanted to put that out there. I think it was sent to all of council, but I thought that...
Yeah, it could. The one thing that we think is important, though, is really having that open visual view. We think that is a... Getting that visual connection. The big thing is that you want that alleyway to be, have its own character itself, become kind of a there that people want to be in. From, like, you know, probably even some outdoor seating, depending on how wide that, you know, area is. It is part of the Dora, obviously. But I don't know if you guys have been to East 4th Street in Cleveland. It's a pedestrian-only, very small little piece in between the basketball stadium and downtown Cleveland, but all the rest, I mean, now people literally burn their doors out to that street, and it completely just reinvigorated that entire little pedestrian alley, and it's a place now, it's a there. And we really see that being important, just be a such a solid row of buildings that it's just tough to get back to where we think your most ideal additional parking use, so to get people, you know, in a comfortable setting, that throughway would really, it needs to be designed well. Design matters. It isn't tearing down a building and paving something or concreting it. This is creating a space and a sense of place that, you know, literally is like Instagrammable where it becomes a zombie identifier.
Michelle, I don't want to cut you off, but I do know we're coming up to the 1 hour timeline, and I don't know if any of our council members have to leave, and I just want to make sure I'm taking some of the group. Anybody on a short time frame? I mean, Heidi, if we just get another 5 minutes or somebody, is there anybody you would like to leave right now? Okay. So, Michelle, I didn't mean to cut you off, I just want to take some of the group. I think if there's another question or two, we certainly can address those then. I didn't get any signals that's great to explore right now. And I don't
want to
cut off any important conversations.
So, can I ask a question as it relates to that pedestrian connection? Again, this is something that we feel is important, but, you know, it's not about us, it's about what you guys want and what you guys are comfortable with. Are you okay with us showing that alleyway somewhere? We would like to kind of depict that in the final rendering. Again, maybe there's major dollars that come out around the road that can be used for that kind of street big improvement or something like that. Do you want to show that to part of the plan? Or do you just want to leave it in our hand sketches and not show any particular buildings being, you know, taken down in that pedestrian alleyway?
There are ways to show it without zoning in on one building, so we don't have an outcry of taking that building. I mean, is there a way to kind of say, like, we'd like to do it, but we don't know exactly where, kind of thing?
Unfortunately, our street model, we're pretty darn specific, so it's definitely a fully
built. What if we hit it to the building that's currently empty? Just for the model.
Which one is that? I'm sorry.
It was the closing store.
That's not really... That's connected to the building next to the Patrick, so that one really wouldn't work, but the...
I just was kind of thinking for the model, if there's a space that we need, it's places are going to have to do that, yeah.
I have a couple ideas. There's the Sylvan Studio property that they talked, that's a two-story building, and that's a little different concept. And then there's the a smaller building that's, I think it's the Main Street here. That's another possibility of an area where it's a one-story
building. So I think there's, that one might be more for that, but there might be some ways to show it without showing it kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure that there's several aggressively interested people in Russian.
Right, I don't think Freshkeys is the spot. I think it's one of the other ones.
But I think we made a very valid point that we don't want to look like we've taken a business out of there. So to Patrick's point, he's simply saying there's an empty space there for logistics purposes to be stored there so we don't get anybody upset. So we think even if the places you mentioned there, those aren't places that are leaving anything. So if they see it, it's fine. So there's a walkway through there, whether that's
so Bill, the question about Philman Studio, I mean, you put a walkway through there, would it be more like a tunnel, or are you talking about taking like a whole piece out of the middle somewhere? I mean, could it be a pathway that's just the first floor and the second floor is there somewhere? Like pictures that
Marco Village has
up right now, we're building a nice
little
brick building.
I would
take a two-story, really nice brick building.
I agree with that. And no offense to our speed, I mean, I love bakery, but the building itself needs a lot of help on the exterior, which is why we're kind of
holding the roof of that too.
I think that we might not be able to build consensus around this, but you can think about if there's a way to do it that doesn't look threatening to anybody. But in the worst case scenario, then keep it on the hand lines and be aware of it as an option to have natural opportunity.
Yeah, that is, you know, it's just something that if we don't want to show it, we don't want to show it, and that's okay. And you know,
I think we all love it, but there is the community outcry that can be a thing.
Right, the going out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's what we're talking about, the active marketplace, right? If something was up for sale.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right. Is there any other questions from any member of council? So, hearing that, I am going to ask if there is interest in having a motion to ask administration to prepare legislation, a resolution actually in support of the adopting this plan.
So
I move that we request administration to prepare a resolution in support of adopting this plan. Second.
Second.
I move then secondly that we ask administration to prepare a resolution. All in favor, please speak by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. And I just want to make sure Katie moves and Patrick seconded.
No,
I'm
Lindsay?
Okay. I think it's Lindsay. It's hard for me to tell from here. So I said, who moves? Lindsay moves?
Yes.
And Patrick seconded?
Yes.
Perfect. But, oh, yeah. Okay. All right, motion carries. Is there any other business to come before this committee at all?
Mary, a couple of things from me. Mark, your notes should show that Mark Fry came in very early in the meeting. You just couldn't see him. He never got on the camera.
Thank you.
And the resolution that you're talking about, I think we'll have it ready, but it's not appropriate until you get the final plan and are ready to approve it. It's appropriate that the committee approved it, but okay. It may be a couple of months away.
Thank you. That makes sense.
Mary, I want to thank everybody for working their schedule so you could be here today. And I just thought it was important for us to have some interaction with Michelle. Michelle, thanks for being available to us. And we have you and I need to talk some more, and we'll keep this thing moving.
Sure, absolutely. We look forward to moving forward, and we're excited to show the end result. It's always the fun part.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn this committee of the whole meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Maybe moved and Brian seconded. So I moved and seconded to adjourn the committee of the whole on paper, so that you guys can aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, we need to stand adjourned. Thank you so much for being here, thank you to staff for your great work, discussing this with our last time. So, we'll look forward to final plans.
Great, we'll be in touch.